take your place in our lives in a way you've never done it before. We kick ourselves off the throne of our lives, our selfishness and our own ways that we want to dictate and live according to our own whims and fancies. We allow you to take your place, being the King of Glory in our hearts and lives. Come take your place today, Lord God. We surrender afresh to you and acknowledge you as our King, our Master, our Lord, our Redeemer and Friend in every way, in the mighty name of Jesus. And thank you for it. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Woo! Glory to God. So good. Take your seats. Kids, you ready to go? That song has just melted me today. Anyone know that? Has you heard that before? Did you see who wrote it? Ali Sebastian, Guy's brother. Guy's little brother wrote that one. Isn't that good? Yeah. And they're a family of incredibly godly people. You know, Guy's got out there and made his money and done all the worldly stuff and become famous, but he still has an amazing heart for God. And I was on a plane flying to New Zealand one day, and I got on the plane, I went in and sat down. Who am I sitting next to but Guy's dad? And he's about this tall. No, he was a shortcake if ever I've seen one, I'm telling you. But he works in New Zealand over there in the steam-generated power system there down in near Lake Taupo. And he worked there for 3 weeks and came home for a week and went back for 3 weeks and happened to be on a plane with him. His dad had a great talk to him. Such an incredible man. But whew, that song just tears me up because it takes me back so much into who God is. King of Kings, come take your place. And often we forget that. If he's our Lord, he needs to be on the throne of our lives. Lordship denotes ownership in totality. Amen? I'm going to read a scripture to you from Colossians chapter 2. And I read it from verse 16 on. Therefore, let no one judge you in regard to what you eat, what you drink, and in regard to the observances of certain festivals or new moons or Sabbath days. Such things are only a shadow of what is to come, and they have only symbolic value. But the substance, the reality of what has been foreshadowed, belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. I love that. The substance is the Lord Jesus. I'll try and stop it happening. I don't know why that's happening, sorry. Try and jam it in. And we've got to remember that we're people of substance. When we sing a song like that, righteous and pure, it's you I adore, King of all kings. And you know, we look at him and think, that's him. But put yourself in his shoes, because that's what he did for us. He put himself in our shoes so that we could put ourselves into his shoes in that righteousness and purity. And you know, there's still a lot of stuff going on throughout the church world, and unfortunately, it's fairly common where people still follow rituals and still follow ceremonies and still keep certain days and still follow certain traditions and rituals. And they think that's going to make them more holy. It's going to make them more pure. It's going to make them more acceptable to God. But all those things that were there in the old covenant, everything that they did were a symbol, a shadow of a future outpouring of God's Spirit. Where it says, I'm set apart, the word sanctified is the word set apart. If you've been sanctified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been set apart. What they did in the Old Testament temples and the tabernacle, they took all of the vessels of the sanctuary and they sprinkled blood on them to sanctify them. In other words, they were then set apart purely for the use in the temple of God. Guess what? You've been made, you've been sanctified through the blood of Christ. Oh boy. Woo! I don't know if you can get hold of that. But when the Bible says we are sanctified and made holy and pure and righteous, it's not for our status or because of our perfection, it's because of Christ in us, the hope of glory. The perfection of who Christ is and the cleansing of his blood has been what's made us pure and righteous. It's made us holy. It's cleansed us. So righteous and pure, it's you I adore. If he's righteous and pure and he's living in me, guess who's righteous and pure? I don't think I am sometimes. I don't act it sometimes. I'm still on a journey, and I'm still fighting the flesh and fighting the thoughts and fighting the attitudes of my life. But I tell you this much, in God's eyes, it doesn't matter. He sees the heart, and he sees what we've been made in Christ Jesus. Our Father's amazing, totally amazing. We can't see people like that. We see people in the natural and we think, you know, we have all these thoughts and questions and judgments and all sorts of stuff like that. God can overlook all of that. He sees us through a sheet, through a red-coloured, crimson-coloured filter. He says, hey, look at that. That's my child. That's my son. That's my daughter. Wow. Wow. So good. And I don't know if you've understood some of those things, but let's put those things into perspective. I'm going to focus on righteousness, but let's focus on righteousness with all of the other things we've been made righteous, holy, pure, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. And I was thinking of what Dan Moller just come to my mind, said recently. He says, don't try to become holy. Live holy. Don't try to become pure. Live pure. In other words, we then just simply assess ourselves by the standard of the Christ that's in us. And we can never become righteous in our own strength. We can never become pure, holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in our own capacity. It doesn't work. You know, you can make a lot of people make a New Year's resolution. And it's usually busted by the 2nd of January, you know. Especially if they've had a heavy New Year's Day. It wipes it out. Some people I really do admire. I remember one guy one day, he was having a cigarette and he said, I have made a New Year's resolution. At midnight tonight, I will never smoke another cigarette. And at midnight, he put that one out, and I never saw him with one again as long as he lived. Just went cold turkey straight away. He said, no. He said, I've made up my mind. And if a person can do that of their own voluntary will and can be so, you know, dedicated to it, boy, when we've got Christ in us to help us walk an overcoming walk, a righteous walk, a holy walk, a pure walk, it's not something we have to do of our own volition and strength and capacities. It's Christ in us working through us to bring about his life in us. Behold the King, righteous and pure. It's you I adore. The minute we focus on him, our life reflects him. But we can assess. And we can bring ourselves into putting ourselves in remembrance. Like God said, put yourself in remembrance of my word. And the more we think of that, the more it's true. Because if we try and do it of ourselves, it goes and says, let no one defraud you of your prize, your freedom in Christ, and your salvation, which is all of that I've been talking about, by investing in mock humility and the worship of angels and going into other things and visions about this, that, and the other that they've seen, puffed up by their unspiritual mind. Boy. And then it goes on, for if you've died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as though still living in the world and its rules and regulations, do we submit to regulations such as do not handle this, do not taste that, do not touch this, all things which perish with the using according to the commandments of teaching of men. And I love what it says here. This is in the Amplified Version, Galatians 2:23. These practices indeed have the appearance, listen to this carefully, that popularly passes as that of wisdom. It makes you look self-made in religion. It makes you have a mock humility and severe treatment of the body, but it is of no value against the indulgences of the flesh or our sinful nature. Instead, they do not honor God. They only make the user proud. Look what I've done. Wow. That is such a real smack in the eye. We've got to take what God has done in and given us. And that song, I had no idea Kerry had picked that. I just melted when I heard it there. Behold the King. And He is our King. And that's the most amazing aspect of that that we can look at. I'll go on with what I was going to bring up today. I'm going to talk on righteousness. I've got to hold this thing steady. So it's misunderstood. And some teach that it's earned by works and compliance to church rituals, but it is not. It's purely a status that God has imparted to us through Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit at salvation. But there's a lot of things to do with some of these things. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. There are scriptures that encourage us in our walk to manifest and develop these attributes of God in our lives so that they become more and more a part of us. Because you can be, you get saved. How many of you got saved and lived a perfect life the following day and from then on? Never made another mistake. Wow. Oh, none of us. It's impossible because of our fleshly nature. And this is where the nature of God is important to appropriate into our lives on a regular, daily, conscious basis, knowing that that's the Christ in us, working in us and through us. Quite often we ignore the little, don't do that. Uh-oh, caution. It's a gut feeling more than it is anything else. It's not God coming along and rattling your brain and putting words in there. It's a, I shouldn't be doing that. I shouldn't be thinking that. I shouldn't be saying that. I shouldn't be working like doing. And we override it because God doesn't come along with a big stick and make us to do anything. He looks for submission, dedicated to Him. Surrendered to Him, and that's the vessel that He worked with. And so when we look at the vessels of the old covenant that were dedicated for use and service in the house of the Lord, they were sanctified, set apart. We need to recognize ourselves. I'm set apart for God's glory, for God's use, for God's purposes, not for my own. Wow. Tell you what, that really does challenge us. I don't know about you, but it challenges us. Challenges me because I know that God has set me apart, but am I living a set apart life or am I just sort of stepping aside going, I'll do this on my own? So easy to do. The line's quite narrow. It's quite thin. Jesus said this in Matthew, for I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. And they were doing it all because of what they appeared to be doing. And the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees was basically hidden behind their position. And they weren't righteous and they weren't doing the things properly. They were being quite judgmental of all the people, imposing the laws and the rules and regulations on the people that they weren't carrying them out themselves. But they said, you need to exceed that. You need to go beyond that. It needs to be a righteousness of the heart. And Jesus was explaining that to them, that unless it excels and goes above and beyond what's being taught to you in the do's and the don'ts of the religious world, you can't really enter the kingdom of heaven. We're set apart by the blood of Christ. There's no rules and regulations. There's Jesus come into my life. Be my Lord, be my master. I surrender to you. And that's really all there is to it. Holy Spirit, lead me, guide me, teach me. Show me Jesus. And Jesus, you reveal the Father to me, as I taught last week. And it's such an important part of growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. The wicked do not earn the wages of righteousness. And the wicked, you could also put into that, if you look at the original there and look at the Hebrew words there, it's those that are outside of God trying to do it things their own way as well. But those who sow righteousness reap a sure reward. Whoever pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity and honor. It's a pursuing of what God has made us to be in Christ Jesus. Man, and I think we forget that sometimes. It just seems to be like, I'm saved, I'm born again, you know, I've got a future with God. And if you look at it in the cheap salvation scenario, give your life to Christ, he's got a purpose for your life, you'll end up in heaven eternally with him. And that's really not the way it's meant to be. It's meant to be, he needs you to develop his kingdom. He chose the church, by the church might be made known the manifold wisdom of God, the Bible tells us, not by any other means. And are we actually functioning in a way that will allow this world to see the manifold wisdom of God? He doesn't have a plan B. He hasn't got something else that he's going to pull like a rabbit out of a hat and say, well, the church hasn't done it, let's find something else. It's us or nothing. Woo! Wow, it's a shake-up call and a wake-up call, because it really does make us stop and think, God, I have to be and do what you have set me apart to be and do. I'm sanctified for your purposes. Wow. Seeking first the kingdom of God. This is one of those verses that, you know, we're made righteous, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that's an outworking of righteousness, being righteous. We've been made righteous, we've been made holy, we've been made worthy and acceptable in his sight, etc., as the word of God says. But there is an aspect of it. Holy, being holy produces holiness. Being worthy produces worthiness. Being righteous produces righteousness. And it's a living out of who we are. I'm a Lethbog. I can't live as a Smith. I'm a child of God. I can't live as a Lethbog anymore. You know what I mean? I do in the world, but my family heritage doesn't carry me to be what God's made me to be. My family heritage now is in Christ. I'm in the family of God. I'm a child of God. Therefore, every attribute of that family heritage in Christ is mine. Wow. That's a bit of a, you know, realization that most people don't get hold of. And we go up and down and we have good days and bad days, and we, you know, we're happy one day, we're not the next because everything's gone wrong. I've learned to live. Paul said, I know how to be abased. What is it to be abased? To brought low. I know what it's like to sink to the lows and the low of the lows. And I know how to abound and be exalted. But I have learned, regardless of the lows and the highs, to be, what did he say? What's the word? Content. He plateaued on contentment in Christ Jesus. Wow. I have learned in whatever state I am in, was the way Paul wrote it. I'm quoting King Jimmy's version here. Whatever state I am in, therewith, not the state. I'm not content with the state. I'm never content with whether I'm up, down, or sideways, or whatever. But whatever state I am in, I ignore the state and I am content in Christ Jesus. Wow. That's the outworking of holiness and righteousness and all of those things. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They will be filled. Are we hungering and thirsting for God's empowerment in our lives to outlive what He's made us to be? Woo. We need to. So what do we do with these scriptures that have a commitment for us to uphold? And it's not a rule regulation thing. That's why I read that thing from Colossians. We cannot do it by self-imposed regulations or other people's rules and regulations for our lives or church regulations and rules. And if you don't do this and you don't do that, man, that is a death trap. It'll kill your spiritual life as quick as anything can. And anyone who's been around church scenes long enough and remembers the early days of some of the churches that were around, everything really put the hard word on you to make sure you complied to the quote status or the status quo of what the church was doing and expecting of you. Well, let me tell you this much, a bunch of baloney, because my satisfaction comes from Christ. And it never satisfied me, even when I did comply with what the church expected of me. I still wanted to rebel. I wanted to kick against it. I hated it with a passion. I knew it wasn't right, but I didn't know what was right until I started to recognize the reality of who Christ was and who Christ was in me and who I was in Him. Wow, what a difference that made. I didn't have to obey a rule anymore. I didn't have to break the rules either, but I also didn't get caught up in the rules and regulations of what was expected of me. It was a pursuing of God's power and love and righteousness and hope and everything that was in my life as a result of who He was in me. I'd been made holy. I had to live holy. I'd been made worthy. I had to live worthy. I'd been made righteous. I had to live righteous. I was made unblameable. I had to live unblameable. Have I succeeded? No, not 100%. No, nowhere near it. But it's a pursuit. Did you see it says pursue it, pursue it, pursue it. Don't let it get out of your target area. Pursue, pursue, pursue. And let God allow His life to be manifested in and through us. Righteousness through God's people, that is, exalts a nation, but sin condemns any people. And if we don't have a hunger and thirsting after righteousness or pursuing it, we just automatically fall into default mode. And default mode is not a good mode. It condemns people. The mouths of the righteous utter wisdom. Ever said anything stupid? We all do at times. You know, we put our mouth into gear before our mouth goes into action before our brain's in gear. The way they put it, isn't it? And we say things we never really meant to say, but the mouth of the righteous is a mouth of wisdom, godly wisdom. And I think that's what God requires of us. When people come to us and want help or want to talk to us, what's this God? Who's this God you serve? Why do you believe in God? Have we got a mouth of godly wisdom? Are we righteous in that aspect so that we can speak the words of life? Jesus said, the words I speak, they are truth and they are life. He says, now I've done my job, now you go do it. Whoa, some of the words I've spoken haven't been truth and life. But I'd love to get more and more pursuing onto that. And I tell you what, I love it now when God has just opens doors and I just say, Holy Spirit, help me. Never used to. I used to do it from my own, what I thought I'd remembered and done. Now I find that words come and thoughts come through the help of the Holy Spirit And I say things, I'm going, where did that come from? Sometimes even when I'm up here preaching, and I'll say things and I'm going, where did that come from? I didn't plan that. I didn't think that. I had nothing of that in my notes. I had nothing of that in my thoughts. And God, that was a pearl. That was a treasure. And I take note of what I say sometimes. I think, you think I'm up here talking to you out of whatever thing that I prepared? I'm telling you, I have to be up here at the hands and the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because some of the stuff I prepared is not sufficient. And I never had that Colossians verse prepared. And God put it in my heart as I'm sitting there. And then that song came on. I was lost. God, you're amazing how you integrate and you do things. I had no idea. I had no idea that God was going to do that today. And he burst the doors open in a different venue to what I had planned to do. Just so good. The Lord's far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. And so if we say, Holy Spirit, help. I need you. Hey, God, I don't know what to say to this guy. There's times when people have asked me questions, and I've said, just hang on a second. God, I've got no idea what I'm going to tell this guy. I need your help, please. And I'll walk back. Come on, God. You want to know something? And then I'll just start to share what God's put on my heart. And sometimes I haven't even got it ahead of time. The Holy Spirit, speak through me. And it happens. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Isn't that good? That's an outworking of our lives produced by being a peacemaker and not letting things upset the apple cart. So our walk is now a walk of righteousness, or a walk of holiness, or a walk of worthiness, or a work of unblameability, or a work of God Christ in us. It's not generated by us. I love that. We can't do it, because then it becomes a work that makes us proud because we're trying to make it happen. And that's what Colossians says. These things have the outward appearance that popularly passes for wisdom, but they have no value in stemming the lower nature of man. Instead, they only make them proud. Look at what I can do. Look what I can say. Look how well I handled the situation. Get out of here, will you? Give me a break. I want to know what God's doing. I remember a preacher one day at a board meeting. He had all of his board members there. And he was saying, look, what do we need to do about such and such a situation in the church that was happening? And one of his elders stood up and said, well, you know what I think, Pastor? He said, I could care less what you think. What's the Holy Spirit saying? If it's what you're saying, sit down and shut up. That was a lead balloon that hit the guy like a ton of bricks, because it was what he thought, not what God was saying. And the minute that happened, the Holy Spirit began to move through the thing and solve the issue in the church. Bit of a problem they had to deal with, but it solved it, and it solved it amicably and peacefully, and sowed a harvest of righteousness. Wow! How good's that? How good's that? It's all through Christ, who was made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him, not of anything of ourselves. Not of ourselves, lest we should boast. He himself bore his sins. I love what Darren brought out at this, the scriptures and all that around communion. I'm thinking, man, he's read my notes. Like, he bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sin, which is based on independence and selfishness, and live to righteousness. They who sow to the flesh shall of the flesh reap destruction and corruption, but those to the Spirit reap life and peace. The Lord watches over the way of the righteous. All this is the benefit of God giving us his imparted life and holiness and righteousness and well-being and worthiness, so that we can be protected from going the wrong way.
and falling into pits of destruction. If we're filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus, it's to the glory and to the praise of God.
Let me look at the Psalm 23. We all know that in closing. I want to get to this. The Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want. How many of us say, oh, I want this, I want that, I want the other? I don't. We've got to be, if God's our shepherd, we don't need a lot of wants. Or maybe we say, oh, I need more milk, but we don't want more milk. You know what I mean? The want is not there. The needs are maybe right, but then God supplies all our needs and the capacity to fulfill those needs. There's nothing that we need or crave outside of what God has given us as our shepherd. He makes us lie down in green pastures. We have his full provision for our life. He leads us beside still waters. Jesus said, if you drink of the water that I shall give, it shall be in you a well springing up into everlasting life. We're satisfied. We're saturated with the life of God. He restores my soul. Our mind, our will, and our emotions are stable, secure, steadfast, whole, and not going their own way or thinking their own thoughts or craving their own direction. But this is the thing that I like. Verse 4 of the Psalm 23 says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I think this is where it's a development process that God wants to outwork in us so that righteousness becomes an outworking and a part of our everyday life. The attributes of God, holiness, purity, worthiness, unblameability, being made holy, acceptable and approved in his sight, are all a part of the paths of righteousness that give us an opportunity to exercise what God, who Christ is in us. And that becomes a part of our spiritual nature and our walk. I love that. And he puts that there for his name's sake. Wow. It's not there for my righteousness or for my reputation or anything to do with me. It's got nothing to do with exalting or lifting up me or making me look better. It's crazy. The paths of righteousness allow for my life to be an expression of him, to show his life through mine. And it's for his name's sake. What's that mean? Got a good name? Has anyone, you know? The name of God has a very good name. Not in the eyes of the people of the world. It's a swear word. It's a blasphemous word. But when you come to know Jesus, for his name's sake, is to enhance his life and reputation through ours. Wow. He leads us in paths of righteousness to lift himself up in and through us. Not because he needs to be lifted up throughout anywhere else, but he says, I want my glory to be seen. You're a light, a city set on a hill which cannot be hidden. Not reflecting ourselves, not shining because we're so special and have to shine bright. It's because of the light and the light of God in us that the world needs to see. I think that's amazing. We want his name and reputation to become fully known in and through us. I'm looking at what Paul said. Is that okay? That buzzing. And I'm wondering. Paul saw when God would say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. I wonder if that's an application of outworking of God's imparted righteousness to us. I'm just asking the question. I'm just putting that out there. I'm not making an issue of this. I'm not saying it is it. But I'm wondering if that's part and parcel of it. I'm thinking, wow. And then when he said, and Paul wrote this and he said, that first one wasn't Paul actually. But this one here, and being found in him, not having my own righteousness or any righteousness of my own that comes from obeying the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. And in Timothy, he says it, now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness,
Wow. Probably the well done. I don't know. I'm just asking the question, which the Lord, the righteous judge, Paul said, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all. The rest of it is missing off mine. Also have longed for his appearing. It's fine to look for the appearing of Christ in the second coming of the Lord Jesus, but what's the purpose of it? The purpose is so that we can be transformed more into his image than what we have been already. This mortal putting on immortality. But the amazing thing about it is when the Bible says when we see him, we're going to actually have an understanding that we're like him. We shall be like him, for we shall not we're going to be transformed and then become like him. When we see him, we'll be like him. You ever thought about that? That's what Christ in us is doing now. It's making us more like him. And when we see him, it's not going to be a shock to our system. It's going, hey, how you doing? We're in this together. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what Christ has done in us. I thank you that you know us, our needs before we call. You've answered. You know all about us. You know our paths. You know our wants, our whims, our fancies, and all that sort of thing. But you also know what's best for us. And so being our shepherd, we have everything we need. We thank you for that. We thank you for all that you've imparted to us. All of yourself, all of your care, your love, your compassion. And through the blood of the Lord Jesus, you've made us holy, unblameable, pure and acceptable in your sight. And I pray, Lord God, that we would be conscious of that. And we will pursue holiness. We will pursue righteousness. We will pursue all of the things that are in us to see them outworking in and through us to show your life, your glory and your love to a hurting world and to those around us, to our families, to our neighbors, to our workmates and to those, Lord God, that are hurting, that we can impart to them what we have in us, so we can say, silver and gold we have none, but what we do have, which is because of Christ in us, we give to you. Be healed, be made whole, be strengthened, be strong, and be made perfect in Christ Jesus. And impart your life to those that need it most. And I ask for it in Jesus' name and thank you for it. I pray our hearts and minds will be purified by your Holy Spirit to learn to be all that you've called us to be, sanctified, set apart in Christ Jesus. Praise you for it. Amen. Amen. I want to sing a